You're listening to a feed of the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org.
In 2009, Irk went to the dark side and became a music podcaster. He discovered a wide, wide selection of music, apart from Dozy Do by Julie the Band. It's now 2010, and Irk comes down the pipe and into your ears, bigger, stronger and faster. Every Friday, it's Irk FM time. Now here's your host of Irk FM from Channel Irk, here's Irk.
Irk FM is my music podcast that comes down the pipe and into your ears at the end of each week. And of course, during that time, we bring you some great independent music from around the world. And over the last few weeks, we've also been bringing you some interviews with some of the artists. And this is actually a bit of a first for me on Irk FM. On previous interviews, I've spoken to a solo artist or one member of the band. But today I have the entire band with me. Now, we'll find out why they're together in a moment, but I'd like to welcome to Irk FM The Fuse from the UK. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi, Eric.
How's the UK today?
Well, we're all really excited because the Six Nations are about to start, the rugby. So there's lots of people around, lots of Welsh people are wearing Welsh shirts and... Yeah, because it's England-Wales today, so that's a lot of buzz in London about that. Here comes another train.
Now, when we were talking before we started the episode, we found out that you're very close to a train line, which is interesting for me because I'm a train driver here in Sydney. Where exactly are you?
We're in Waterloo, just literally right by Waterloo main station.
We're in the sewers, underneath the tube.
In London.
No, we're not.
In a railway arch is where we are.
Rat-infested railway arch.
Oh, that sounds rather cool. So, if you hear any train noise, ladies and gentlemen, fellow listeners, that's what the noise is. Now, we have the whole band. We have Alex with us, who's on lead vocals. G'day, Alex. How are you going, mate?
G'day, very well. Very well, thank you. Yeah, very good.
And how did you get started?
Me personally or the band?
Oh, we'll start with you personally, then we'll work our way up, I think.
Sorry?
We'll work our way up, I think. We'll start with you and we'll work our way and find out about everyone and then we'll see how you all came together.
I started writing songs in, you know, when I was 15. I always wanted to be in the music industry and went through, you know, various bands and so on and so forth. This particular band, we've been together in various guises for a little while, but we formed as The Fuse last year we decided on the name finally in May. But we've been playing together before that, but we kind of got this identity May 2009.
That's pretty cool. And so who are you influenced by? Who are your inspirations when it comes to music?
I'm one of those boring people who is sort of influenced by everything, but I think if I had to give you, my top influences, I'd probably say Coldplay, Radiohead, Guns N' Roses, Nirvana, Queen, something like that.
Awesome. So we'll move from you and we'll move to Jake. G'day, Jake.
Hi there, Eric.
And you're on keyboards and vocals, is that right?
Keyboards, vocals, guitar, bass. No, I'm actually the drummer of the band.
That's one thing your bio that I'm reading from doesn't mention, actually. So
I don't know why that is. I think it's because Rob maybe did the entry on. Where are you getting your info from?
From AirPlay Direct.
Yeah, because Rob did that profile, and I think he might have confused our roles a little bit.
Yeah.
Jake was the woman in the band.
Yeah, understandably.
Yeah. He thought I was the woman in the band. But no, I'm the drummer of the band, so I used to sing at one stage, but then I thought that really wasn't working, so just kind of left it up to Kiki and Alex, soul drummer.
So, Jake, how did you get started in music?
Oh, well, it's a long, long story, but we've all heard it a lot. I basically got into the drums when I was at secondary school, and, just kind of started off with a kind of 5 to 10 minute lessons with a teacher, and then it just sort of progressed from there. I got the drumming bug, as it were, and when I changed to my, I went to another school later on in my secondary life, and kind of decided to take it up as a sort of principal study, and to sort of progress from there. And then I got into production as well, and Alex and I started working on some stuff, and kind of it's just been one massive snowball since then, to be honest.
Now, I'm going to ask you a really dumb drumming question from a guy who has absolutely no musical ability apart from possibly playing the recorder in high school. Now, when you're playing things like the recorder or other wind instruments, you've got, you know, different fingers over different holes mean different notes and that sort of thing. And when you're playing the guitar, you've got, you know, different fingering and strumming and all of that sort of stuff for different notes. But what about drumming? How does that work? Do you have, like, set notes that you're playing according to what drum or cymbal you're hitting, or are you just going for it?
Well, I think it depends, really. I mean, there is actually notation for drums and drum beats and stuff like that, but generally I think it's just kind of just go with it and just kind of, you know, go with what the feel is, especially with our sort of music. There's no kind of notated drum parts. It's just whatever kind of feels right, really, and it's I'm not claiming to pull out the best beats or whatever, but it seems to kind of work sometimes.
Awesome. I've always wondered about that, and you're the first drummer that I've actually spoken to on Irk FM, so I thought I'd ask you the question, mate.
Oh, cheers. Nice one, mate. My pleasure.
No worries. And so we'll move on to Mike, and I think I'll ask Mike what he does rather than...
I'm the bass player.
Hello, Mike. Hello, Mike.
Yeah.
Oh, do we have... Yeah, Mike, go ahead. So what
do you...
Sorry, mate, I missed that.
I play the bass.
You play the bass. And what brought you to the band, and what brought you to music? How did you get into music in the first place?
Well, I actually first started playing the guitar when I was about 15. And actually, I was in a band with Alex in 98, I think.
Well, 96.
Really, 98. And they needed a bass player, so basically I kind of just switched, really, and just carried on from there.
Ah, cool. And hello, Kiki, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks.
And so what do you do in the band? What?
I play the keys. The keyboard.
All right. How do you find that? How did you get into playing the keyboard?
Well, I learned the piano when I was younger, and basically I actually met Alex in Italy when we were both doing a year out there during uni. And he was singer-songwriting, and I kind of joined up with him and did a bit of vocals with him. So we kind of just went on from there, and then I picked up the keyboard because I kind of played classical piano before, but now it's pretty much synths and pad sounds and things.
So technique-wise, is there any difference between playing the piano and playing the keys?
Yes, I would say there probably is. I mean, you've got to keep time and everything still, but it's not like you're playing. I'm not playing sonatas or anything at the keyboard, so it's more chords and just giving a kind of overall atmosphere to the music rather than coming out with my own kind of arpeggios or, you know, musical repertoire. I don't know what I'm saying.
No, that's cool. And finally, we say hi to Simon. Hi, Simon.
G'day, Eric. How you doing?
Good, mate. How are you?
Not bad, thank you. Not bad.
And
No,
you're fine. And
okay?
No, you're all right, mate.
You can hear me okay, Alex. Thank you. So, Eric, hear me.
Okay, and how did you get into music, and what do you do in the band?
I am a guitar player in the band, solo guitar player. I got into music when I was 14. I went to a friend's house, and he had an electric guitar, and he played Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana, and I was hooked from then on. I went home and said to my mother, I must have an electric guitar, buy me one now, otherwise I'm going to destroy your house. And she did, and it's been downhill from then on in.
Awesome. Now that we've said hi to everyone and we sort of got a bit more of an idea about who fits in where, I think now's just a greater time as any to play your song Hello. Who would like to tell me about the song Hello, how it started, what the song's about?
Alex speaking. I think, well, the song originally came out of a riff, which I thought up on the train coming in from Cambridgeshire a while ago. We played it round and kind of launched the song, and then it developed really slowly over about 2 to 3 months. Went through various guises. It was a really slow song to come together structurally. And then, yeah, we kind of put it together in Jake's studio initially, and Jake and I kind of worked on the melodies and production, and then inspiration for the song is, you know, it's just a sort of a romantic story about a missing a girl, I guess. So
you
know, partly true to life.
Indeed. So here we go. This is The Fuse, the guys that we're listening to now, with their song Hello.
I'm the
You're listening to IRC FM episode 72, and on the line from London in the UK, we have The Fuse with Alex, Jake, Mike, Kiki, and Simon. So how was band practice, guys?
It's going well, but we're trying to work on a new song, actually, so we've been kind of taking it apart and seeing what we can do with it.
Indeed, never an easy job, but we're getting there. It's a struggle, but we're getting there.
And so how often would you get together as a band to basically practice?
Every week?
Yeah, we do, on the whole, we try and get together about 4 or 5 times a month. When we've got gigs, we do a rehearsal before a gig. So I guess we practice 6-7 times a month, something like that, when we've got gigs on, which is most months.
Now,
About that.
So in your bio, you guys were saying that the band was formed in early 2009 after you all lost your jobs due to the credit crunch or the global financial crisis or whatever it is that you'd like to call it. It's now early 2010. Are you all still unemployed or do you have jobs now?
No, we were all one way or another in employment. We had to kind of, do a bit of thinking to get the money coming back in, but on the whole, we're back on our feet.
That's good, because one thing that I've been trying to stress during these interviews is that the vast majority of the artists that I'm playing are probably doing this around a day job. There'd be very few people, I'm presuming, who can actually, at the moment, do it full-time, although that is that the aim, full-time band?
Yeah, definitely. It's absolutely the aim. We want to, of course, take it to the level where the money's enough to keep everyone out of day jobs, but the industry, the way it is, it's sort of tough at this stage of our careers to earn enough from music. So yeah, we all subsidise our musical ambitions.
And because of so many of you, it's that little bit harder, rather than just a solo artist. There's more of you, so there's more costs, and you've got to cover it a bit more.
Thinking about getting rid of the drummer, actually.
It's always the drummer that's first to go, isn't it?
Poor drummer boy.
So when you all got together, how did you decide who does what?
We were all fairly well defined in our roles. I've always been a singer, Mike's always been a bass player, Jake's always been a drummer, Simon's always been a guitarist. Kiki probably had to morph a little bit from piano to keys, but it's not a massive step of imagination to change. It means more buttons and
more effects.
More knobs.
It's a twiddle.
It's a twiddle, yeah.
Very funny.
But that's it. Does that answer your question?
Oh, I think it does. And who writes all the songs?
We put the music together generally in rehearsals. I write most of the lyrics. Melody-wise, Jake and I probably do the majority of it in terms of vocals.
Quite often come organically, though, just while we're kind of having a break and Simon suddenly starts on a little riff and then Jake will bring his drums in, Mike will come in, and suddenly we've got...
And before you know it, pow!
Which is great. It feels really good to produce music like that.
And again, because there's so many of you, there's so many different ideas rather than just someone who's flying solo or maybe one or two out. So you can all get together and you guys just sometimes at practice just play together and just see what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a pleasure to play together, I think.
No, we're all good friends anyway, so we kind of hang out and good fun.
So what happens if you're away from the band or, it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you're asleep and you come out with a really awesome idea? What do you do?
Alex has a dictaphone and he records everything, don't you?
Yeah, basically. I mean, put the idea into a phone or whatever. You know, something like that. Just
Yeah, you've got to capture that moment, so you can't just go back to sleep. You've got to record it somehow. So we use our mobiles or whatever we have near us to get a record of it.
That's interesting because I usually ask everyone the same sort of question, and some people will say, yeah, I'll write it down, and others will record it, and others will just go, no, if it's you know, still great when I wake up, and if I've been thinking about it for a few hours after I have the initial thought, well, then it's worth writing down.
Because my memory's so bad, I'd always forget something like that, so I always need to record everything.
That's a risky approach, I think, because you might just forget it, or you might never wake up. Yeah.
now there's a song. I was asleep, and I came up with this really great idea, and then I went back to sleep, and then I didn't wake up. Oh no!
You've got the number one hit there.
Very metaphysical.
I'll let someone else do the singing because. I'll probably be banned again from singing on my own podcast, but anyway. But it's an awesome idea. And so, tell me about how you all mentally and physically prepare for a performance. I'm presuming for everyone, you've all got your different little nuances and superstitions.
I mean, we dress in, you know, our stage clothes and.
I think more physical, more mental, I think.
I don't know, do we do much?
I do a bit of warm-up
on the guitar.
Mike punches a few. Mike punches a few times. I always like to slap Jake to get him worked up, get him in the mode. And he hits me back and a small fight breaks out and then we're all really pumped up to hit the stage.
No, we kind of all gather behind the scenes and just have a few mellow moments, I think, really, and then go on and do it.
Sometimes we do the conga as well in the backstage. You know, nothing like a conga to get you going. It's great.
They're a real load of jokers, these guys. I'm quite tired.
You're the biggest joker of all.
And so describe the feeling for me of playing live. What does playing live mean for each of you?
Great feeling. Alex?
At its best, it's not always the same. It's not like you kind of switch it on and off, but as a band, you know, there have been a few occasions where I feel we've gained a real connection with the audience. When that happens, it's just really uplifting, you know, that the music kind of transcends everyone into a new state. It's the best feeling in the world, which is why I do it personally. You know, that's my quest. To get that feeling more often, you know.
And so is it easier or harder playing in front of a smaller audience?
It can often be liberating in a way because you don't really feel a burden of to impress, and suddenly, you know, the expectations are off and you can just enjoy it, and sometimes you have your most freest performances can take place in front of three dogs and a cat.
But you can really sort of pinpoint the reaction as well. So if there's just a mass of people you can't really see, but if there's only a few, and you can tell they're really into it, that's great. So it doesn't really matter how big the crowd is, but obviously if there's 300 people, it's quite a cool feeling.
Yeah.
So do you have groupies?
We do have a few groupies.
Mike's got to a groupie, isn't he?
No, we do have some groupies actually.
There's a few young girls that keep coming along.
Yeah, you know, a few fans, like quite a lot of fans on Facebook who, you know, they stay in touch and stuff. So yeah, well, you know, I wouldn't say we've got a massive fan base, but it's growing and it's we've got a few people who are pretty loyal, so that's nice.
So you mentioned Facebook. How have you found the social networking such as Facebook and Twitter and MySpace? What do you use and how do you use it?
We focus mostly on Facebook. We've got a MySpace account, but certainly in the UK, MySpace isn't, apart from in the professional industry, it's not really widely used. Like, kids aren't using MySpace at all. Facebook is much more important
to us.
All
about Facebook.
So, yeah, we focus on Facebook mostly.
And so is there one person out of you all that, okay, you are the Facebook person, you know, you do it all, or do you share it out between you, each of you?
Alex does most of it, but we kind of meant to share it.
We're all admins on the page. I think I probably post most of the stuff up there. But we've got quite a good turnover of fan input on the page as well. So it kind of, you know, up to a point takes care of itself. We just keep new stuff, putting new videos, and like this interview we'll put up on there, and you know, people come along, and the idea is to try and create a platform which is self-sustaining. You know, people are interested enough to come along and listen and watch and so on. So it's kind of, you know, it's going okay. It's got some life.
Awesome. Are you guys on the Twitter yet?
Yeah, we do tweet. Simon and I think, are the only people with a Twitter output, as it were. We've got some followers, not a lot in fairness, but occasionally. Twitter's not so big for us.
How does Twitter over there, say, compare with things like Facebook? How does it compare with you guys? It sounds like Facebook is the main avenue.
You could put more things on Facebook, so I guess it's, can't you? I mean, I don't really know much about Twitter, but Twitter's kind of exploding over here at the moment, though. Everyone seems to be joining it. But I think Facebook's a better vehicle for us, really.
Twitter is big for very famous people. People are famous already. Like, I don't know. It's, yeah. We're not major on Twitter.
Twitter's good for a few contemporaneous comments. You can't actually
upload
tracks or pictures or anything like that. It's, Facebook gives you the best of both worlds, I think.
And of course, you know, you do have the option of going from one to the other, or from one to one to the other. But I find that it's good to make like initial contact with people and sort of have one-on-one conversations. Most of my conversations, for instance, are one-on-one between me and someone else, and I could be having 5, 6, 10 conversations at the same time with, you know, obviously 5, 6, 10 different people.
On Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so yeah, it can be handy, but I can see how for a band you definitely have to have the whole multimedia thing. You just can't have like a static website anymore. People want to be able to hear your songs, they want to be able to watch the videos and all that sort of thing. And I always encourage people to go to my show notes at irkfm.com and click onto the links for the bands and go through and, you know, find out more about you and listen to some music, buy music and all of that sort of thing. So I try and do things that way for people.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. Sounds good.
And so let's have another song. This song's called Crazy Love. Who would like to tell us a bit about that song?
Jake.
This is Crazy Love by Fuse.
So you got to say a bit more about it.
I don't know what it's about, actually. I'm still a little bit unsure myself. You know, I've played it for a number of months now. I really don't know what it's about, but I'm sure your viewers can make up their own mind. It's about a crazy type of love, one which I don't really want to dissect right now because Alex is right here and you don't really want to dissect Alex's love life. It's rather complicated and non-existent at times, but let's not talk about that. Let's talk about the song. So here's Crazy Love from The Fuse. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Urk FM episode 72, and from London in the UK, we're talking with The Fuse. And that song we just heard was Crazy Love. There's no bromances going on. I hear that word so often these days. I'm almost sick of it already.
Bromance.
A bromance.
Yeah, there's a pretty major bromance going on, yeah.
So, have you all got, like, a favourite song?
Yeah, mine's Shape of Your Heart by Sting.
Is this by us or by someone else?
I will pick, you know, pick one. One by yourselves, one by, you know, someone else. Doesn't matter.
The ones I love of our own are I Love Phantom and I Love Shine.
Everybody Knows the Way.
They should all be on the website.
And Everlong by Foo Fighters.
That was Mike. He said, "Everybody Knows the Way" and "Everlong" by the Foo Fighters.
Oh, okay. No, I miss Mike, but you know,
we'll miss Mike.
Nah.
Come closer to the speaker.
Well,
you have to speak into the laptop.
My favorite song by us is "Phantom and Shine." I agree with Keeks. Classics, in my humble opinion. But my personal kind of song outside of the band is Death to All But Metal by Steel Panther at the moment.
Oh, no. Awful. I've got too many favourite songs outside of the band. I can't even... Jake?
My favourite song... I've got a couple, actually. I like Everybody Knows the Way, like Mike said. I think it's a solid classic. And, as far as bands outside, I really like Rebellion Lies by Arcade Fire. I think that's quite a cool song.
Now, I'm always interested, especially when it comes to your own things, to see if there's one particular song that people like more. What about the fans? What song do they like out of your collection?
We generally get called on to play Phantom quite a lot.
Everybody Knows the Way. People love that. Paint This Town has been popular, but you'll hear that soon because we haven't quite...
Yeah, we're just about to launch Paint This Town. It's our new single coming out in about 2 weeks' time. But we've been playing it live for a bit and it's had a great reception, so that's to come.
Awesome. So for each of you, and also for the band as a whole, what does the rest of 2010 and the future hold musically for you all?
Well, we've got some releases lined up, and you know, we've had pretty good radio play the past 2 or 3 months, so we're just looking to escalate, really get more fans, spread the word.
Hoping to play as much as possible this year as well.
Get
spread the music.
Yeah, just continue expanding, really. We may have a little tour lined up in Poland in the summer.
And look, and some festival dates as well. We're trying to get in some festivals. That'll be fun in the summer, in the sun.
So have you guys done festivals before, or was that something new for you?
We played 3 last year, which were pretty fun, you know. Festivals are great.
So for our listeners that aren't aware, briefly tell us the difference between a festival and a normal gig. What extra goes into a festival?
Well, there's just more people and it's outside and...
Everyone's really on a feel-good vibe
as
well. Yeah,
it's a better atmosphere.
It's usually a festival is over either a number of hours or over like a couple of days, and people camp and everyone's just there to have a great time, and it's a great, great atmosphere. Whereas a gig, I suppose, is just a one-night event.
Yeah.
And I'm presuming with a festival, it's a lot easier for you guys to go out and check out the other people that are playing, and also for the fans to talk to you rather than at a gig.
Yeah, in some respects, there's more of a backstage at a festival, though. So in some respects, the band's more separated because, you know, smaller venues, you generally mix with the fans afterwards, but festivals, you're often backstage and stuff, so... Can't be like that.
Well, at the moment here in Australia, it's summer, so we've got a few major music festivals sort of going around the place at the moment. And what they're also trying to do over here, and I'm not sure if they're doing it over there, is combining concerts with sporting events. For instance, we've got a game of cricket coming up, where AC/DC are going to be playing afterwards. And last year, we've got a form of motor racing called V8 Supercars, and they've had several groups perform at that after the racing each night. And apparently even Pink will be playing at the Sydney race later in 2010. Have they started to do that?
Racing or just playing?
Sorry, say again?
Will she be racing cars or just
saying? I think she'll just be singing, because what they do, they have the racing during the day, and then at the football stadium where the precinct is, they have like the performances at night, and so they're trying to...
Like musicians in cars racing each other, I think that would be a spectacle that everyone would want to see.
Although,
we're playing at something called Rugby Rocks. It's a new festival in England. It's the first year, but we'll be playing that. So, yeah, the idea's over here as well.
It certainly is a good draw card, because you get the people who are into the event, and they'll go to the event during the day, and then they may decide to go to the concert at night. But then again, you may have people who are just going for the concert and vice versa. So... I think some promoters are trying to think outside the square and sort of use all the infrastructure that and the basically the captive audience that you've got. And so...
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea. I think a lot of that kind of stuff going on.
Eric, the office we're in, the owner wants to come back here. Do you think we could wrap it up?
Yeah, I was getting close there anyway. So I'd like to... Thank you all for being on. It's a different dynamic for me, one-on-one compared to one-on-five. Certainly been a lot of fun. I'd like to thank you all.
Pleasure. Thank you very much, Eric.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
No worries. So from the Fuse, we have Alex, Jake, Mike, Kiki and Simon.
Yeah, that's me, Simon. Don't forget me.
Mate, that's a bad thing about having a first name starting with S, mate. They always seem to put you down the bottom.
Well, I know. It's
Simon Lake's been down the bottom.
Bloody crime.
So,
pedo.
Yeah, I know the feeling. with my first name being up towards the top of the alphabet, but the surname being down near the bottom, I certainly know how you're feeling. So good luck with 2010, and hopefully, you know, if you've got a new single out, we'll be able to play it and spread the word and spread the love, and best of luck.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Have a good Sunday.
No worries. So that is The Fuse. And as we say here on IRC FM, good night, Interweb.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
All right. You have been listening to a Channel IRC production. Channel IRC and all 5 podcasts are licensed under a Creative Commons non-commercial, non-derivative, share-alike license registered in Australia. Music is used with direct permission or under agreements with various music providers. All rights to the music contained within remains with the original rights holder. Some sound effects are sourced from the Free Sound Project under Creative Commons. For more information about Channel IRC, go to www.channelirc.com.